This is Shreeja on Bolly 92.3 FM, and I'm joined now by Chief Information Officer for the California School Boards Association, Troy Flint, who's going to talk to us about schools reopening, what it is going to look like ahead, what can we expect. And in fact, the California School Boards Association has just released a report called The Uncertain Road Ahead, Reopening Schools in the Time of COVID-19. And let's find out how uncertain that is, or what it is that we can expect. Good morning, Troy, and thank you for joining us on Bolly 92.3.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I think as the title of the report suggests, there is a great deal of uncertainty, but what we're trying to do with our report and what the California Department of Education and the California Department of Public Health have done with their reports they've released recently is try and provide some guidance for school districts, in our case, particularly for the school board members who are making the important policy decisions around reopening schools. We want to make sure they know the subject areas they should be focusing on, the important questions that they should be asking so they can make these difficult decisions. And we want to be sure that when they're making decisions, because these decisions are affecting students, they're affecting staff, and they're affecting the surrounding community, that they have the right principles in place. For us at the California School Boards Association, the foremost consideration needs to be health and safety. Then we need to look at funding and resources to make sure that school districts have what they need to safely reopen schools and to effectively teach students before we rush back. And then we also need to make sure that there is enough support for teaching and learning so that productive instruction can occur in this new environment under some of these new models that we're going to be seeing on campus. And then we need to make sure that there are supports for those students who may be suffering from trauma, who may not have access to the internet at home, who just may be struggling with this new world we're experiencing, making sure that they're taken care of and engaged and are receiving a good education. And then we need to make sure that local districts have the flexibility to do what's needed for their specific context, because not every situation is the same. It's going to be different in San Jose than perhaps in Humboldt County or someplace like that. And so that's where local school boards really come into play, is using their discretion, their knowledge of the needs of their students, staff, and community to make adjustments and decisions that are right for their specific situation.
Okay, yes, and that was one of the things I wanted to ask you, because school boards and school districts are, of course, some school districts are equipped to handle something like this, perhaps, if we can put it that way, better than others. Others may need more help. So, and you will have a lot of people talking about or comparing one district to the other and saying they're doing a much better job, our district is not doing as well. So this must be there must be a lot to look at to ensure that every child, still gets the kind of attention, maybe the individual attention, and also school districts as a whole are able to all function the way they were before this pandemic or in an altered environment.
Yes, you raise great questions. I'm glad that you're getting to the heart of the matter here. We have grave concerns because in our view and in the view of most educators and the majority of people throughout the state of California, California schools were underfunded even before the pandemic. We do a substantial amount of polling at the California School Boards Association, and almost 70% of voters were saying that they would be willing to accept more taxes if it were to be invested in education and to go to the classroom to support students. That was about a year ago. And that's in light of the fact that California ranks 38th out of 50 states in terms of per student funding. That is a very low ranking for a state that, if it were its own independent country, would have the fifth largest economy in the world. Yes. And is also the center of the global technology industry. We have much higher aspirations for California, and we think our students deserve better. And so our schools didn't have the resources to provide education to all students at the level they need before COVID-19. Since the pandemic hit, there have been all sorts of additional costs related to distance learning, trying to get students internet access in the home, purchasing Chromebooks, shoring up computer networks, delivering meals, preparing for the new school year under different conditions, decleaning, sanitation, overtime, all sorts of hazard pay, all sorts of expenses. One district, Los Angeles Unified School District, estimated they were spending about $400 per student. And that number is going to go up dramatically as we look at getting students back on campus in 2021. There's a national organization, or two national organizations. One is called the School Superintendents Association. They represent basically all the superintendents in the country. And another is the Association of School Business Officials, which represents the people who hold CFO-level positions at schools. And they released a report just yesterday, I believe, either on Friday or yesterday. And they looked at an average school district, which has 4,000 students, so much smaller than, say, San Jose, and eight school buildings. And for the average school district, the additional expense to open properly and safely for 2021 is $1.8 million. And that's just for a district of 4,000 students. So say you're a district of 28,000 students, about seven times that, you're talking about 12 or 13 million additional dollars you're going to be spending to reopen this fall or in August, on top of the fact that schools didn't already have enough money to begin with. So there is deep concern about whether schools can reopen safely given the support that exists in the state right now and given the state budget. So what CSBA has been asking people to do is to contact their legislators to remind our lawmakers and politicians that education needs to be a priority, that this is an important issue for the sake of students, but also for the long-term prosperity of California, our economy. And really, it's a civil rights issue to make sure that all children have access to an education, and that nothing is preventing them from taking part fully in that instruction they need to succeed.
Okay, thank you for explaining that to us. And it does sound a little bleak right now, because we are clearly facing, California is clearly facing more than one challenge. So like you said, the pandemic has brought with it a new set of challenges. But even prior to that, as you point out, because of the funding and where we are in terms of the funding that California receives, there were already challenges there. And now we have all these additional things to take care of. So it is going to be, I guess, perhaps more difficult, and also because it's a large state and so many students, so it's going to be perhaps a little more difficult than some other school boards. And school is going to look dramatically different, isn't it, for kids? Because we don't know, there's so much information out there, so much to process. We hear about temperature checks will happen. Not all kids will be in school every single day of the week. It may be a combination of distance learning and then learning on campus. So can you tell us what it is that you are seeing come fall?
So we did a survey of our members. Again, that's almost every school district in the state, about just shy of 1,000 school districts, and we also represent all the county offices of education. And 77% of the school districts that we surveyed said they were considering some sort of hybrid model when they reopened schools in 2021. What they mean by a hybrid model is some days, there are a number of different forms a hybrid model could take, but generally speaking, you're talking about some kind of format where some days students come on campus and some days they're at home learning through what we've come to know as distance learning over the internet and the computer. So that may mean that you break up the school in half, and half the students come on Monday and Tuesday, and half the students come Wednesday, Thursday, and then on Friday everyone's learning from home. It may mean that you separate up the class into what we call cohorts, so that you have a certain group of students that is always traveling together throughout the day, and you try and minimize the number of different teachers and classrooms that those students are attending. And there's a number of other different ways. So that is probably the largest, most fundamental change, is that kids may not be going to school on campus every day. They may not be seeing the same range of teachers they used to see. And there will be a heavy reliance on distance learning even after schools reopen. Other changes are that the California Department of Education also recommended that students and staff wear masks.
Yes.
So that is going to be a big adjustment, particularly for the younger kids at the elementary school level who struggle sometimes just to, you know, keep all their outfits together, let alone wearing a mask over their face all day. So that's something that schools are grappling with. You're talking about changes even in how students go through the hallway, recess, gym, sports. Some schools may not even have sports. These are the type of decisions that school boards have to make as they consider how rigid or rigorous they want to be in implementing social distancing on campus.
Okay, and yes, and these are going to be challenges. I mean, we are dealing with challenges right now, but even when kids actually physically start to return to school and schools, and they have to, wear a mask, one of the first things to do. And I struggle with wearing a mask sometimes, if it's more than 2 hours, I want to get it off. So I don't see how elementary or middle or even some high schoolers are actually, because it's one thing to have that as a policy and another to actually enforce it. Because with kids, I mean, adults will know why we need to enforce it, but with kids, it can be pretty tough. So I guess there's challenges with that too. I want to also, focus on teachers a bit. What are you hearing from teachers? Because I'm guessing this is, of course, new for everyone, for students and parents, but also for teachers, many of who have to now, teach kids online. So what are you hearing about the challenges that they are facing?
I think a big challenge teachers face is making sure that they have the support from their districts to teach distance learning effectively. You certainly have teachers who were prepared for this moment or were able to make the transition quickly because of the facility with technology or because they're particularly enterprising and did the work to coach themselves. And then you also have districts where there is a robust distance learning program and the transition wasn't as sudden and jarring as it may have been in other districts. But then you have teachers who maybe didn't receive the training or the professional development to allow them to make this leap to distance learning. And that's not necessarily an indictment of a teacher. You have a lot of teachers who are great in the classroom, but just haven't learned how to translate that to online, so that you need professional development and support from the district level, and the state needs to provide funding and guidance, particularly for those districts that haven't made distance learning a priority, either because they didn't focus on it or because they didn't have the resources. We had a little bit of an excuse in the spring, but now it'll have been almost 6 months by the time school starts again. And schools really need to be ready and need to support their staff. And they may actually have to hire more staff if they have the funds to do so, because we talked earlier about, not having so many people in a class and other measures that schools are taking to try and enforce distance learning. But if you have more classes with fewer students in each room, that means more teachers. I neglected to mention nurses before, but since we're talking about staffing, if you're going to be screening students before they come to school, who is going to be doing that? Who is going to be monitoring students for the symptoms that they may have been infected with COVID-19 or if they're not feeling well? Not every school has a nurse, or far from it these days in California. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done to support our staff, both what we call the classified staff, as well as the instructional staff, our teachers who are on the front lines.
Okay, so come fall and when school starts to reopen, I'm assuming the final word will be with the districts on whether they are ready to open or not? Is that how it works?
That is how it works. Both Governor Newsom and State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurmond have made it clear they're not going to issue mandates about any of these measures they've recommended or options they've presented in their guidance. I think there are a few reasons for that. One is because if California law requires something, if California law issues a mandate regarding public schools, then the state government has to pay for that mandate. And in our current financial circumstances, I don't think that they have the desire or are prepared to do that. Mm-hmm. And then the second issue is if you issue a mandate, if you declare a mandate and then it doesn't work out, then you are responsible for it and will be judged on those grounds. I think they're content to let local school districts make these tough decisions, and then the burden falls with the local district. So that's tough for our members to confront, but that is the reality what we're facing. And school board members are being very resourceful in trying to meet the moment, as our governor likes to say, and to be innovative, to do more with less, and do everything they can to get schools in a position where they can reopen safely. But they haven't been supported fully to this point, and that's disappointing. And we encourage people to contact their legislators to ask them to change the status quo.
Okay, and I think, I hope that as everybody at every level, individual, you know, at personal levels, whether it's kids, teachers, parents, educators, nurses on campus, everybody, I hope that we can find a way to make this happen and function, and so kids can get the education that they need, even if they have to distance learn. And of course, we all need to be patient, because this is a new normal for everyone. And hopefully kids will be back in school, physically on campus, and things will go back to normal sooner rather than later. We are talking to Chief Information Officer for the California School Boards Association, Troy Flint. Troy, thank you so much for telling us, what we can expect, what we perhaps should not expect, what things are going to look like. This has been very useful. Thank you so much for joining us on 92.3 FM.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.